Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Red Sox Nation.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest one of the three Democratic candidates for state general treasurer next year, Seth Magaziner. Thank you for joining us, Seth. And we should mention he's currently a vice president with Trillium Asset Management in Boston and a resident of Providence.
Thank you so much for having me.
Providence Mayor Angel Tavares this week called on his expected Democratic gubernatorial rival, Gina Raimondo, to reject contributions from super PACs and similar third parties. Raimondo responded by saying that organized labor's criticism of her amounts to a benefit for Tavares. Scott, what do you say? Was this a smart move for Tavares to raise this issue of super PACs and third-party contributions?
Sure, but, you know, we're in the spring training part, to use a baseball analogy. The spring training part of this run for governor. And this is just kind of the first round of back and forth. There have been some races, Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown in Senate race in Massachusetts, where they did agree to cut some outside influence as far as money goes. But the way politics is nowadays, they're going to play to their advantages. Raimondo's advantage is she has access to money. And what Tavares's advantage is, he has more support from organized labor. So we'll see how this turns out.
Seth Magaziner, you're working now to build up your own war chest as you face a Democratic primary next year with Frank Caprio and Ernest Almonte. Do you think candidates in Rhode Island should reject contributions from third parties like super PACs?
Well, before entering the world of politics as a participant, I was on the governing board of Common Cause of Rhode Island. So this is an issue I've thought about a lot. And unfortunately, we have a Supreme Court that is essentially, with the Citizens United decision, opened the floodgates and said anything goes. There are no rules anymore when it comes to campaign finance, at least no significant rules. It's a shame. Now, for a race like mine that's further down the ballot, I don't plan on using a super PAC or anything like that. But we live in a world now where, unfortunately, for these big ticket races, congressional, governor's races, more and more candidates are finding that they have to resort to these methods in order to be competitive, and it's a shame.
Maureen, how much of an advantage does outside super PAC contributions and other third-party contributions represent for Raimondo?
I think it's a critical factor, and I think I understand why she did what she did, because the whole idea in this Democratic primary is she's going to have to get a lot of attention. She's going to have to pull in a lot of voters. And if it was a low turnout and the base wasn't energized, you know, Tavares would have the advantage. So I understand what she's doing. It's the way the world works. In the Massachusetts race, that was a general election, and there were fantastic amounts of money spent in that anyway. So I think this is just an opening salvo, and there'll be more to come.
Let's go to some questions for our special guest, Seth Magaziner. As we said, you're running for treasurer next year against former treasurer Frank Caprio and former state auditor general Ernest Almonte. You've never held elective office. What makes you more qualified than either of those two rivals?
Well, my background is in finance. I work, as you said, as a vice president at Trillium Asset Management. We are a billion-dollar socially responsible investment firm based in Boston. I live here in Providence. I oversee about $100 million of investment positions. That's retirement savings, college funds, nonprofit endowments. My job as an investor is to guide our clients' savings through the ups and downs of the financial markets with a steady hand. We have a very strong track record, I'm proud to say, and I'll bring the same approach to our state's pension system and our state's finances as a whole.
Let's go to Maureen.
Well, a lot of people are curious now because we have Claiborne Pell, who is a young man who is starting out and thinking about that he wants to run for governor, and we have you suggesting and indicating that you want to run for general treasurer. Do you think statewide office is an entry-level job for politics? Most of the respected politicians start out in the legislature. Have you ever considered running for the Senate?
Well, we've got a lot of career politicians or longtime politicians in the state house. My background, like I said, is from the financial sector. I have experience as an investor that ties in well to this job. I'll put my financial credentials up against anybody. I've also been active locally in the community. I mentioned earlier on the Board of Common Cause, also Crossroads Rhode Island, which is one of the state's largest providers of services to the homeless. I was the treasurer of the Marriage Equality Campaign. So I think my mix of experience as a investment professional and as someone who's been involved actively here in the community suits me well for this position.
Let's go to Scott.
What do you think of Treasurer Raimondo's strategy as far as the state pension goes, particularly shifting a lot of this money into hedge funds.
Yeah. We're in a very challenging economic environment right now, and particularly for an investor, one challenge is that we have near record low interest rates with the Federal Reserve's quantitative easing. That has broad implications. For example, fixed income or bonds, which typically would be your main defensive asset, your main low volatility, defensive, more cautious portion of your portfolio, with interest rates so low, that gets you almost no return. In fact, it'll probably get you a loss when interest rates rise. So we have to be creative. We have to look at new kinds of strategies. Two things are very important, though, quickly. Number one, we have to be transparent. This is the people's money. They have a right to know where it is. So as treasurer, I will not go into any contracts that have an unacceptable level of secrecy. Number two, we've got to do everything we can to keep these fees down. The fees that we're paying to some of these hedge fund managers are unacceptable, in my opinion, and we have to be firm negotiators in that regard.
Well, speaking of the treasurer's office, Gina Raimondo led a move to remove gun-related investments from the state's pension fund. She calls it a step to reduce gun violence, but moderate party founder Ken Block and state GOP chairman Mark Smiley accused Raimondo of playing politics. Seth Magaziner, guns are a legal product, so does it make sense to take them out of the state pension fund?
The pension fund exists to serve those who have served our community professionally as teachers, as public safety officials, social workers. Every investment decision that we make has to be made with an eye toward providing a secure, predictable retirement for those individuals, and frankly also making things predictable for the taxpayers as well who help fund that system. That's got to be the driving force behind how we make investment decisions. I'm not familiar with the details of this recent decision to divest from the private equity firm with the gun holding. This decision was just made in the minutes from the meeting, haven't been released yet. If there was an acceptable alternative that had similar risk-return characteristics, that could be okay, but it's hard for me to make a judgment without seeing the details yet.
Scott, was this a feel-good move, or does it make sense to you?
Well, I think it was a feel-good move, but nonetheless, you know, this happened after Newtown. In the aftermath of Newtown, the general treasurer announced he was going to divest, and it was part of this overall reaction to this horrific shooting. And it was a number of other gun control things that came up in the legislature. As we know, none of them passed. And I just think, basically, this is Gina Raimondo's trying to live up to a promise she made.
Maureen, as Scott said, there's a really sharp contrast between how the State Investment Commission unanimously backed this divestment while the General Assembly was very reluctant to pass gun-related measures this year. What do you make of that contrast?
Well, I think she's in an opportunity, has an opportunity to do this, and I think it's a place where, as Seth said, as long as this is a prudent move in terms of the investment strategy, I think it's something she should do. I think she's tapping into a lot of disappointment in terms of what happened at the legislature, and I think, you know, as a potential candidate for statewide office as governor, I think this will serve her well in terms of, I think there's a lot of resentment because the legislature didn't do anything. So I agree that this was an opportunity for her. Generally speaking, though, it seems to me that these funds should not be politicized. The legislature passes laws that says you can't invest in this and that. I think basically you have to be very careful about these kinds of pronouncements, laws, and decisions.
We're running very short on time, but just a quick comment on how Providence Mayor Angel Taveras is still facing criticism over the closing of a pool at the Davy Lopes Recreation Center on the south side. Taveras says the money is better spent to create a water spray park, and that's safer. How big an issue is this, Scott, and will it haunt Taveras during his expected gubernatorial campaign?
I've never seen this much sturm and drang over a pool. However, another way to handle this would be to go along with the neighborhood, take the block contractors up on their plan, and invite Davy Lopes himself, who's now a coach for the Dodgers in Los Angeles, invite him back to his home city and have him reopen the pool.
Listen, I have a tremendous amount of regard for Mayor Taveras. He's done an excellent job in very challenging circumstances. Part of being a leader is making tough decisions, and I don't envy him for this decision that he has to make.
I agree. I mean, we had someone die and be left dead at the bottom of the pools. These are dangerous. They have to be well-staffed. They have to be well-managed. It's much more effective to have these water parks, and it's much safer. That said, the blowback from this should create create a movement to help inner city children learn how to swim. And you can do that at institutions of higher learning. I have a relative who learned at MIT. They can use these pools, but that should be a separate initiative. I applaud the mayor. He has to make a tough decision.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Seth Magaziner.
Thank you so much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.